This portion of my commentary is Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. The opening verse begins with brothers. Paul is still counting these people as brothers, even though they are on the wrong track. He says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, the Greek word translated as caught here suggests a trap, someone who has sinned and because of the sin is trapped. It suggests that he wants out of the trap. It does not suggest that he wants to stay in the trap. There are two types of people, even two types of Christians, when it comes to sin. One type of person is he sins. He wants out of the trap the sin has put him in. The other type of a person is he sins. He does get trapped, but he would prefer to stay in the trap and keep sinning. Paul is talking about the first kind of person because he goes on to say, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. You who are spiritual, meaning the one who is being led by the Holy Spirit, as we've seen in chapter 5, he and only he can help restore the man or woman caught in the trap of a particular sin. The word restore in the Greek here is a continuous verb tense, suggesting that he continues to help restore. It doesn't seem to suggest a one-time intervention, but an intervention that will take place over a period of time. So he says, restore such a man or a person in gentleness. Gentleness in Paul's day, when it came to men, was not really a virtue. Gentleness in Greek and Roman culture, when it concerned men, was kind of wimpish. Men were raised to be real, macho, strong men. Any hint of gentleness, meekness, was seen as weakness. What Paul is saying here is pretty dramatic in his culture. He says, you people who are led by the Holy Spirit, restore the one being trapped in a sin, but do it gently. But watch yourself, you also may be tempted. Even the Spirit-led person can be tempted. That's what basically Paul is saying here. He says the Spirit-led person should restore the man caught in the sin, but he himself must be careful because even he will be tempted by the same sin the man is trapped in. We are all, and it doesn't matter how spiritual we are all, I would say, on the verge of the possibility of sinning. Sin is always a temptation with us. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and this is the way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now the word burden here, I believe, is in the context of the trap the person who has sinned has found himself. That is a burden. And Paul is saying we need to carry, or at least help carry, that burden. Now remember, the person Paul is talking about is not the one who willfully sins, who wants to stay in the trap of sin. He's speaking about the one who wants to get out of the trap. And it's a burden to get out. And Paul says, we need to help carry that brother's burden. And in so doing, we will fulfill, now this is interesting, the law of Christ. This is the first time in the book of Galatians that the word law is now being applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the word law in association with the law of Moses and even in association with law of social, political, civil, secular authority. But here the word law is in reference to Jesus himself. Paul is clearly saying that Jesus has a law that we should live by. So you can say this, Christians that Paul was speaking to wanted to enter into a relationship with the law of Moses in obedience, but he's saying, don't do that. Enter into a relationship with Jesus and submit yourself to his law. When Paul is saying we are free from the law, he's not saying that we are free from all law. We are free from the law of Moses in order to submit to the law of Christ. And the basic law of Christ is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? Whoever the Lord puts in your path at any given time. We think in terms of neighbor today as being the one who lives next door to us in the house, or the house across the street from us, who may be just yards away. But in Paul's day, that wasn't necessarily the case. A neighbor might have been a fair distance away. So Paul's idea of neighbor might well be a larger geographical area than our idea of nature, of a neighbor. So that's why I say, whoever the Lord puts in your path at any given time, he becomes your neighbor, and therefore you must fulfill the law of Christ and love him in whatever way is necessary at that given time. Verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, why did Paul throw that verse in? Well, because the one who is spiritual should help the one trapped in sin to get out of the trap. Now, if you go in thinking you are somebody when you're really not, then you will fall into the same trap. The problem, or one problem we have as Christians, is that we think too highly of ourselves. We are more sinful than we recognize. If we recognized who we really were, then we would appreciate the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ much more. Again, this is something to think about. We tend to think of ourselves much better than what we really are. And Paul says, no way, don't do that. Verse 4, each one should test his own actions. Like, we're going in to help the brother trapped, but at the same time, we need to test our actions. Why are we doing that? Why are we going? Are we going in to make ourselves look good? Or are we really going in to help our brother? We should be going in to help our brother, not to make us look good in front of anybody. Then he can take pride in himself. Only the motivation that is based on the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, only things we do from that motivation can we take any pride in. Any kind of self-effort, prideful effort, any kind of motivation, actions we do based on self, we should not take pride in. But if we can humbly, gently do anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, only then can we even think of taking pride in that. And even then, that pride is based on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one who is enabling us to perform the action that needs to be done. Without comparing himself to somebody else. So you test your actions, your own personal actions, you test the motivations, and you don't test them by comparing your actions and your motives with somebody else's. First of all, you don't really know the motive of somebody else for the most part. Maybe we can in some instance. But Paul is saying, don't compare yourself with others. And we do that all the time. And we shouldn't do it, because the Lord may want somebody to do something. He may want us to do something altogether different. And you cannot compare the two actions. What we compare our actions to is the word of the Lord, the Bible. The Bible is our standard to compare our actions with, not somebody else. Somebody else's standards may be way off. You know, the Galatians were doing that themselves. They were comparing Paul with the false prophets. And Paul basically is saying, don't make that comparison. You judge your actions on the word of the Lord. Verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. Now, Paul has just said earlier that we need to carry each other's load or burden, but here he's saying we need to carry our own load. Well, the bottom line is this. We can help each other. We can help each other by carrying each other's burden. But in the long run, the bottom line is we stand before the Lord and he will judge us as individuals. We need to carry our own burden. We can receive help, but in the long run, it's our burden. We cannot hand our burden over to somebody else. That is fundamental. We need to be accountable for everything we do. If we are the one that has sinned and feel trapped, we can receive help from our brothers, but the help is only there for us to get out on our own. And besides, when our brothers leave us and go home from helping restore us, we're all alone. It's then that we need to climb up out of the burden that we are under. Now, the burden here might be the burden caused by sin, or possible it might just be the stresses of life, or even the stresses of Christian ministry. Over the last number of years, few decades in Pentecostal charismatic circles, we have taught a lot on personal relationships with each other, accountability, giving each other support and strength, which is very important in the body of Christ. But as I said, we are accountable in the long run to do our part. We can't depend on somebody else to do our job and to carry our load. Again, for more information on this portion of Galatians, you can visit my commentary at stevesweetman.com.